You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here, and today I am thrilled to have Sarah Ney join me because we're going to geek out on a topic that you may not be thinking about when you think about marketing. However, it's kind of essential. So if you think about how a business is structured, we often will talk about it as having three legs of a stool, right? There is the financial leg. You got to manage those finances, but how do you actually bring the money in? Well, there's the sales and marketing leg. And then there's the entire structure to support it all, the operations leg. Well, Sarah has a lot of experience in the world of operations, and we're going to dig into the topic of how operations and marketing connect. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to geek out on this with you.
Excellent. Well, why don't we start with a little bit of background, because you've been brought up in this world of marketing and systems around marketing. And as we were just talking before I hit record, the strategic approach to working on marketing in a business. Why don't you give us a little bit of background and talk a little bit about the operations aspect of it, because you've been really focused on operations in your business.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been with Duct Tape Marketing for 12 years, but as you just kind of alluded to there, John, our founder, is my father. And so marketing and strategy and systems has been a part of my life for all that I can remember, essentially, but have been very involved in the company for the last 12 years. I started as an intern, kind of trying to figure out what was next 12 years ago. And then over the years, I have learned a ton, working very closely with him and moved up over the years. And now I'm leading our operations, essentially. So I'm the COO for Duct Tape Marketing. We've worked with a lot of businesses over the years where we've grown their marketing and their sales demands. And then they ultimately ended up having a different problem is they now had to fulfill or serve the clients ultimately. And so there's a lot of missed phone calls and missed promises. It was almost like we created a new problem for these businesses. And so about a year ago, we founded the company Spark Lab Consulting, which is our second company. John and I are partners on that company, essentially. And so Spark Lab Consulting is focused on helping people develop their operations, systems, processes, manage their team, hold people accountable, grow and scale essentially in a smart way. And so now we're able to impact a business not only from, you know, marketing and sales, but also systems, processes, operations, teams, the whole complete picture. You mentioned a second ago, marketing to us goes across marketing, sales, and service, because it's not about just getting in front of more people marketing. Like, that's one of the pieces of the puzzle. You have to have awareness, but then you also have to get people into your world. You have to take care of them. You have to nurture relationships with them. You have to deliver incredible experiences for them. So then they become marketers for you. The referrals side of marketing is one of like the most important pieces that I see people miss out on all the time, but you're not going to get the referral until your operations and systems and processes are in place to deliver really great experiences for them. So that was kind of a lot to throw at you, but that's the story.
Yeah, oh, totally. And, you know, I think you're probably familiar with the phrase, everything is marketing. And so, you know, when a business is thinking about how they are supporting or treating or interacting with a client or even a prospect, that there's a marketing element to whatever experience that individual is having. And I imagine that you know, is not necessarily at the forefront of what most businesses are thinking about when they're thinking about marketing. But when you start to cross that line into operations or into staff training or, you know, whatever the hospitality aspect of the business might be, that there's a lot of that stuff that can be incorporated.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's definitely our mindset as well, is, you know, everyone that's coming in contact with a client is in some sense a marketer because they're representing the company, they're telling the story, they're upselling and cross-selling if it makes sense if they're in the sales and service role.
How would you like to become part of the More Perfect Marketing family? You can when you join our free online community, More Perfect Marketers. Inside, you'll get access to our collection of marketing cheat sheets to help you streamline your business growth, as well as the videos from David's Niche Challenge, which will teach you the counterintuitive approach to selling more by focusing on a narrower audience. To join for free, please visit mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. Now, back to the show.
And so to us, it's all marketing and sales and service are all very connected in terms of how you serve clients. But a lot of times people think about, okay, they got a new client, marketing is done. But to us, it's, you got to think of how can you get repeat revenue, if it makes sense, from that client, and then how can you blow them away so they refer and they become marketers for you. And so you can do a lot of that in terms of operations, looking at your onboarding experience, like what can you automate? How can you communicate? How can you stay in touch with people long term? So it's thinking about communication and service after you actually get that lead closed, mm-hmm. ultimately, to keep them in your world for, you know, as long as it makes sense.
So let's break down the process a little bit of, you know, moving from the working on the marketing, getting people in the front door or getting people, you know, buying more frequently once they've, you know, sort of become a regular customer, or maybe even building the referral systems, to building the core necessary activities that you see as sort of the next step. Is there a process that you take with a business or that a business can, you know, take away from our conversation to say, oh, these are the things we need to start looking at, or these are the ways we need to prioritize the things that we need to address over the next period of time?
Yeah, absolutely. So for us, it comes down to determining what are your product offerings? What do your packages look like? Like, what are the most important things that you're ultimately going to sell? Like, that's step one. You got to understand that first. And then from there, mapping out your fulfillment process for those things. And so, for example, we offer strategy first for our consulting. When we're working with a small business client, we have a set package. It's like a 30 to 45 day package that has a set number of deliverables. It's the same experience for everyone. Then we get into more, you know, retainer custom work from there. But the strategy first, like, it's a proven system process we've spent a lot of years developing. Mm-hmm. And so for us, we've mapped out, okay, once someone pays and signs the agreement for strategy first, basically answering the question of what's next, what's next, what's next, until we get the final deliverable, which is a final presentation. And so we've mapped out stages in terms of, okay, complete a total online presence audit, and here's all the steps behind that, and here's the process behind that, and here's the deliverable behind that. Okay, next, complete competitive research. Here's the process behind that. Here's the steps. Here's the deliverable. Okay, complete client interviews, and so forth, all the way through the midpoint presentation and the final presentation. And so what we've done in that system is basically identified, like, what are the most important stages or steps in the fulfillment system? And then once you've identified what those really important stages are and steps are, then you're able to say, okay, we need to have processes and systems documented behind those important stages or steps, so everyone's having the same experience, and so that all of my team members are delivering what we're expecting they deliver throughout the whole entire process. And so it starts with, what are you fulfilling? What are the most important steps and stages? And then even one step further is, you know, what are some metrics that you can define to help you understand how successful your fulfillment engine is? And then actually assigning that to team members to hold them accountable on those things. And so a metric in, like, a strategy first engagement for us might be percentage of clients that then convert to a retainer engagement. And mm-hmm. so obviously if that metric is low, then we need to work on our strategy first process. And that metric tells us that if that's high, we're doing really well. Great. We can keep doing what we're doing and focus on some other metrics that might be more at risk in our fulfillment engine world.
So, okay. So the example that I think you just gave was specifically about the marketers who you are supporting and how they're thinking about this stuff internally in their system. Did I follow that correctly?
Yeah, so we do marketing consulting as well. So we practice what we preach. And so Strategy First is one of our core offerings, okay. Our packages that we offer. Consultants in our network also offer for something similar trained on our process. But that's something that we would be working directly with a small business owner on, is mapping out their marketing strategy for their business.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, you talked about sort of the activities and implementation of things. In terms of how you work with the end business, how do you tend to sort of divide up who does what when you make decisions about these things need to get done? Who's responsible for what?
So let's say we stick with the example of like the Strategy First, our package that we're talking about. So first you map out the stages. And then from there, we then assign team members to each of the stages. And so that mm-hmm. helps determine who's essentially doing what. Before we had all of these different processes mapped out, we would define a role and we'd say, okay, this person's doing this, this, and this. But it was almost backwards way of doing things. Now with a business, we map out all of the different like fulfillment systems for their core offerings. And then once you have all of the stages mapped out, that should then dictate, okay, these are the biggest priorities that we absolutely can't make mistakes on that are essential to our core offerings. Who on our team can handle these things? And then
when
from
you say
there,
the team, is it the service provider? Like the marketing team, or is it internally in the business, I guess is the question. Really what's behind the question is the amount of participation of businesses in a process like this, right? Is it all an outsourced set of activities, or is it stuff that they are embracing and adding to their procedures internally?
So this example, like I'm mapping this out for mm-hmm. like our business as I was sharing one of our examples. So when I talk about team, that's my team
okay.
implementing a deliverable for a client essentially. And so if we're talking about like a marketing agency that's listening to this, it comes down to, you know, documenting how you're fulfilling to clients and then assigning things to your team. So we're not even talking about clients at this point. It's how are you delivering what you promised to the clients using your team that you have in-house or outsourced, depending on what your model is.
Got it. Yeah, I guess the where I got caught up there was, you know, bringing a client into this process and giving them ownership of the marketing stuff that we are doing as service providers on their behalf can often be a tricky thing, right? Either they're removed from the activities to a point where they don't necessarily get each element of what we're doing for them, or they don't want to have anything to do with it because they just want to run their business and outsource everything to a service provider. And so I was wondering sort of how you address that issue in general. And it may not be, you know, it may be a separate conversation from what we've just been discussing, but yeah. I was hearing that topic come up as you were describing that situation.
Yeah, no. So in the example I was giving, that was essentially when like a company can be delivering strategy for their clients. And so in that scenario, a great fit for that would be a company that wants to hire someone to handle their marketing for them. So they want to hire someone to come in and create the marketing strategy and implement it. Mm-hmm. And so there's absolutely one type of client that works in that way. And so when we're training our consultants in working with clients like that, it's, you know, a series of three meetings. You're as the consultant or agency doing all of the research, all of the presentation, all of that. And you're basically just presenting and educating your client on what you're doing and why. And then you move into implementation. And then you're basically just handling all of the implementation and reporting to your client. So that's absolutely one type of client. But we also work with a lot of clients that do want to be more involved in the process. And so we also coach teams on how to create a marketing strategy within a business. Mm-hmm. And so in that example, that's someone that wants to be more engaged. They want to do the research themselves. And so we teach them how to do things like client interviews and things like competitive research. And they basically present back to us the marketing strategy. So a lot of it just determines like who the client is, what their goals are, what their structure is with their current team, and then delivering packages based on all of that information.
Got it. Okay. And I guess I'm a lot more familiar with the latter because I have a bias that a lot of businesses should take more ownership of the activities that they're engaged in with their marketing. And so I was, you know, perhaps projecting that into what I was hearing from you. Let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned before we hit record about this new assessment process that you've just, launched recently. And I want to talk a little bit about sort of why a business might be thinking about, gosh, are we in a place where we need something like this? How do we go through the process of considering what our needs are, what our priorities are?
Yeah, I think it comes down to understanding where you're stuck in your business specifically. And so, you know, as you mentioned, there's key areas in your business you could be stuck in. So it could be you're just not generating or converting enough leads at this point. And that might come down to analyzing your product offerings, your packages to determine if they're the best fit for your market. So it is kind of business strategy, but then, you know, going to work on really growing your marketing and working on your sales processes is probably where you need to focus. Or let's say you're just struggling with serving clients and you're not getting back to people and you're not retaining clients, and your team is relying 100% on you to do everything, then, you know, in that scenario, the whole process, systems, operations, scaling side of things might be your bigger fit. Or if finances are a mess, as you mentioned earlier, that's a big piece of the puzzle, like working on your pricing and packaging and your finances and your profitability and who you're working with might be a thing. So I don't think there's one like perfect answer as to like how to determine where you're at. It's just really looking at your business and seeing what you think are your stuck points and then working on those areas. But the thing is, like, you might fix the demand piece. So you might fix the marketing piece, but then all of a sudden you have trouble serving those clients because you don't have enough team in place or systems and processes. And so then you got to go to work on that side of your business. So they complement each other well, but I think it just comes down to pain points, things you're struggling with in terms of growth.
And so you have in place, you've built an assessment tool to sort of help guide the discovery of what's really behind whatever that pain is that they think that they're dealing with, or the symptom that they're dealing with. And there's a few different areas of this assessment. And if I remember, I have thankfully a visual aid in front of me from your website. Thank you. Clarity, strategy, execution, team, communication systems, capital, money, and demand. Do we want to dive into, you know, some of these areas and see sort of the types of things that you look for or are often, you know, common in where you see businesses maybe omitting or overlooking something?
Yeah, absolutely. So they get into, I think, just really important pieces of your business. And these are key items that we see can be holding you back, and they all have their own challenges. And so, for example, clarity is a piece that, you know, a lot of people struggle with. It's, where are you going? Why are you doing what you are doing? Who do you want to work with? Like, what's your vision for your business? Why are you trying to make an impact? Like, answering all of those questions. What's the culture of your business? Like, and being able to communicate those things with your team ultimately. Mm-hmm. And so that's like one of the pieces of the wheel, is that you got to have clarity and understanding of why you're trying to go somewhere and what your 1, 3, 5 year goals are ultimately. So the assessment helps look at that area among the other areas and basically gives you a score. And so let's say you're low on clarity, that tells you that you probably need to work on clarity as one of your key pieces. Strategy is another piece of the wheel. That's business strategy, you know, marketing strategy, understanding some really important pieces of that. Execution is more of like the fulfillment side of things. And so a lot of what we talked about already, it's, you know, how are you executing on the promised value you've promised to clients? And so again, the assessment basically gives you a total score, but then also a score in each of those categories to then hopefully tell you what's holding you back essentially today, and then helps you understand like what area to focus on first to nail, and then evolve and focus on the next pain point from there.
Are there trends having run through this with businesses that you see? Are there common areas that businesses tend to excel in versus have challenges in?
Yeah. And I can talk a lot about, like, cause I've worked with a lot of marketing consultants and agencies over the last 12 years. And at first, when they're getting started, a lot of where they're experiencing issues is the demand side of things and capital usually. So both, because they kind of go hand in hand, but it's really the demand side of things. And so they just don't have any leads coming in. They're not positioning themselves effectively. The capital, they don't know how to price their services. Like those are very common, like pain points just getting started. But then I've seen after they've been in business for a little while, they've gotten some clients, they get their head down and they get really involved in those clients. And then they forget about the systems and processes and strategy and clarity for their business. Mm-hmm. And so they get stuck at this level of growth where everything's relying on them. They haven't like brought in team members to help grow and scale because they've just had their head down focusing on their clients and they've kind of forgot about their business.
Right.
And so that's like a next phase challenge I found is getting just too involved and not being able to grow and scale. And then from there, okay, once someone starts hiring and getting people in place, the next challenge often is like how to make the most of your employees or freelancers or outsourcers, whoever you're working with, but how to put them in the effective roles, how to hold them accountable, how to get them to actually manage clients. And so again, you're not in the day to day. And so it kind of depends on like the stage of business, but in the marketing agency consultancy world, like those are like the growth pains I've seen most common.
And having worked both with marketing agencies and consultants as clients and every other type of service business as clients, I can say that what you just said there extends to pretty much any business.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I bet.
And you know, it's interesting that there are, you talk about the phases of growth of a business. What we were originally, I think before we decided to talk about this subject, we're going to cover was the stages of the customer and customer journey and the customer discovery. And so there really are for, those of us who are helping businesses develop, right? They have awareness around certain needs at a certain point, just the way an individual might have awareness around their needs or interest at a certain point in the process.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right. So you're working with a business that comes in and makes a discovery about these things, going through your assessment or having an initial strategy session with you to sort of uncover where the real, you know, underlying challenges might exist. What's the process from there? Obviously, we talked about prioritizing based on the results of that conversation or assessment. But what is the process that you tend to follow in terms of, okay, now we got to address it. How, I mean, I guess there's a range of things depending on what it is, but yeah. What are some of the sort of directions that one might go?
Yeah. So it kind of depends on what the specific issue is that you're going to work on. But, you know, for example, if it's demand, then going to work on your overall marketing strategy and sales process is where you should start. And I could talk about marketing strategy all day in terms of core message and personas and customer journey, and working on those elements like is absolutely where you should focus first. If your problem is execution, it's then going and sitting down and mapping out your systems for how you deliver to clients and then documenting your processes behind that. And so there's no like, this is what's next. It's so dependent on what the key issue is that will help you determine essentially what's next. But it really just comes down to working on that thing that's a challenge for you, getting that solved essentially, and then going to work on the next thing. And so a lot, and what we're doing with our clients in our own business as well, is we're very big on quarterly strategic planning. Mm-hmm. And so let's say you take the assessment, you identify three things that you want to accomplish in the next quarter, things you need to fix or things that you can make an impact if you go to work on. That's great. Work on those three or so things. Hopefully you get some success in those, and then you shift to your next three or four things.
So what I'm hearing here is that you realize that it's not necessarily something that a business can bite off, you know, an entire year's worth of stuff at the beginning, that you chunk it into essential 90-day sprints or something like that.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in that with marketing and just business strategy in general. It's hard to predict what's, especially in the world today, it's hard to predict what's going to happen in 6 months to a year from now. I think you can have goals in terms of like revenue and where you're trying to go for a year, 3 years, 5 years from now, but you don't really know what your problems are, what you should be focusing on, what you should be fixing. And so it's also reliant on, I think, do sprints, put sprints in place, set some goals, don't make it overwhelming, work on 3 to 4 things a quarter, knock those out, but then also pay attention to the metrics and data and then shift your next priorities based on what's working, what's not working, where your fires are for the next quarter, ultimately. That's the biggest thing I think a lot of people struggle with in the marketing side of things is they'll do marketing, but they don't pay attention to what the metrics are telling them. So they'll like keep doing things that they think they should be doing in marketing, but maybe it's not working for them and they have no idea it's working for them because they're not paying attention to their metrics. And so, you know, everything you're doing, if you can define a metric to the things you're doing, like definitely set those up and pay attention to them and help those metrics dictate what's next ultimately.
You sparked a thought in my head just now. Who or what type of business or business owner is this not a good fit for?
In terms of the scalable side of things, scaling up your business side of things?
You know, here's what's, again, what's behind that question is I'm thinking about, gosh, this takes a certain personality or takes a certain willingness to invest in a process. And often, you know, you'll find certain types of businesses are going to fail simply because of their general perception or outlook on what their role or responsibilities or what business building ought to be. So I was sort of curious, you know, have you had folks who might have engaged you in a process like we've been talking about, but they really weren't a good fit for, you know, they shouldn't have even started the process to begin with because it's not right for the way that they operate.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to be willing to invest your time, effort, and energy into this stuff, and understand the importance of value in it all. And if you are doing marketing strategy, you're documenting your systems and processes because you have to, but you're not excited about it and you're not excited about the end results, you're not going to buy into it long term and you're not going to make the changes you need. And so, like, going back to the marketing side of things, the strategy approach, like, we've worked with clients over the years where they've gone through the strategy process with us because we stress the importance of it. We won't work with anyone without doing the strategy process. But then we go into implementation and they're like, what about this shiny object and this shiny object and this shiny object? And they don't want to stick to the strategy. It's like they just went through strategy to go through strategy. And so I think that's where it's not a good fit, is if you're going to put in the work initially to do this stuff because you have to, but then you're going to get super distracted and off track moving forward, then you're basically wasting the investment on the strategic
work. So you got to commit to the intent of the process, not just the process itself, but really what's behind it. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. I want to take a break from our business conversation because you have something behind you that is something that I've been seeing a trend of a lot recently, which is your books are all color coded.
Yes.
I'm curious what inspired you to do that.
Funny. Honestly, I do a lot of interviews. I do a lot of Zoom conversations and it looks cluttered without them being color coded. So that was a big part of it. I see it all day behind myself. So it's nice on the eyes, but it also helps me find books easier. So if I know a book is red and I need to grab it, it's in the red section. So there's two purposes.
See, I knew, first of all, there's this operations element to you. And so there's a certain organizational, you know, mindset that you have. Yeah. So thank you for clearing that up. Now I have to figure out how do I organize my books color coded. So a lot of work ahead of me, I guess.
I guess so.
So you've been doing this, you said a dozen or so years that you have been in the family business. You've sort of developed some new plans and new directions to sort of supplement where you had come from with Duct Tape Marketing. Where do you think we're going from here in terms of sort of the way that marketing is embraced and prioritized in business compared to where you might have seen things, you know, a decade ago?
Yeah, I think what you and I both focus on is the whole conversation around strategy before tactics and the customer journey. And I've actually seen more and more people coming around to that conversation as of late, where before it was very, very tactical based. And so I'm hoping that's a direction that it continues to go. Because I run our sales for our consulting side of things still. And you literally 90% of the calls I feel like I have with people is, oh, I work with this marketing company and they just dove into tactics and they said they do strategy, but they don't actually do strategy. And they send me a monthly report and I'm never hearing from them on the phone. I feel like that mentality is changing a little bit and people are realizing how important strategy is. I really honestly, for the sake of small businesses, hope that it continues to trend in that direction.
Yeah. I love that idea that it could trend in that direction.
Yeah.
You and I both agree
hopeful.
It needs to. One of the things, we've seen a lot, particularly, through the pandemic period, is that the world has opened up in terms of accessibility to people, half a world away. And that the whole tactics approach to the service has become more of a commodity than it ever was before, because you can have people who are halfway across the globe in a country where they don't need to earn as much, to be able to have a great life, charging a lot less. And I don't remember the numbers that I saw recently, but there's twice as many Google AdWords certified folks in India as there are in the United States or North America, right? And there's some very, very qualified people in whatever country. But when you're looking at it simply as a business owner, looking, at the investment money-wise for it, and it's very difficult to understand the difference between all of the options that you have. And so I love seeing folks like you and the folks that you train and who are certified through your consulting network, who really start with strategy to figure out, hey, should you even be doing AdWords? Is that an appropriate tactic for your business to begin with?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't compete on price, or you don't want to, for the individual tactics, because as you said, there's people that are willing to do it for less probably than it's worth your time. Mm-hmm. And so how can you restructure your business not to just be tactic based, but to provide even more value for your clients? And so, what we train a lot of consultants on is come in and lead with strategy, but then when you move into retainer, handle all of marketing for our clients, if it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so be their content producers and their social media experts and their SEO team and their website developers and managers, because then that way you have full control over their marketing. You're making sure that it all works together, that it all supports each other, and you're making that impact. And so all of a sudden, then you're not a doer necessarily. Yes, you're doing the stuff, your team's doing the stuff, but you're a strategic advisor, keeping all the pieces moving forward, essentially. And so you're so much more valuable than at that point than someone just managing their paid ads. Mm-hmm. Because to me, the paid ads has to be tied to the content that's on the website, that has to be tied to the email nurture series, that has to be tied to the lead conversion process. And so if you're just doing one piece of that, you're not impacting the business as much as you could if you were handling all of those pieces for them or with them.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you've shared this, because this was, as I started my very first marketing agency, it was back in 2010, and it was focused on a tactic. I was a Facebook advertising, agency, and I started, doing the work I was doing. And then I would ask my clients questions about, okay, and then after my job is done, tell me what happens. Right.
Yeah.
Where is the lead getting captured? Are they getting an email follow up, so that I'm understanding the concept of or the work that I'm contributing to, and where they're going from there? One of the probably most common answers was, oh, we're just, aside from the silly answer of we're just sending them to our homepage, and what do you mean capturing and all of that?
Yeah.
But one of the most common answers was, either. That's our business. Why are you asking us?
Yeah.
Right. That's none of your concern. Your job is only to get people to come to the page that, go away now. Or I don't know. What do you suggest? Right. And so seeing that there's now a very different approach, as we've been talking about, which is really to be holistic in every piece of the marketing puzzle, and then subsequently operations and the impact on finance and all of the other pieces of the business overall, I think is a great place to have a marketing advisor, you know, playing a role in your business. And you guys are doing an amazing job training both the end user businesses, yeah, as well as the consultants out there. So why don't we wrap up and make sure that folks know the different places where they can find out more about the stuff we've been talking about. Why don't we start with the stuff at Duct Tape, because you have a way to find out about your services there and also the consultants who you're working with, and then we can jump over to the new project.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing just to end real quick, what you were saying, you know, a lot of what we've been talking about is don't just focus on transactions, focus on transformations. Mm. So how can you take your clients or prospects today from where they're at to where they're ultimately trying to go? And that's how you're going to grow and scale your business. So I just wanted to like end on that note.
Perfect punctuation. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course. And so ducttapemarketing.com is where you can go if you're a small business or if you're a marketing consultant or agency. We serve both through that website. And so we work directly with clients in terms of marketing, consulting, and implementation. And then we also work directly with consultants and agency owners to certify them essentially in our systems, processes, bring our tools and partners to them so they're able to go out and serve small to medium sized businesses. So that's Duct Tape Marketing. And then Spark Lab Consulting is our separate business, and that is focused on the operations scaling side of things. And so just sparklabconsulting.com.
Excellent. We'll make sure to leave links to each of them in the show notes. Cool. Sarah Nay, this has been a great conversation. Thanks so much for hanging out with me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Indeed. Folks, this has been More Perfect Marketing. If you know somebody who can benefit from listening to this show, please share it with them. And if you have some feedback to share with us, please do so via Apple Podcasts. Thanks once again, and we'll see you on the next episode. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.